How many people died in the days of Noah and the flood? I typed that question into Google just to see what kind of results I would get. And the second result that popped up was from Yahoo Answers, and it said, all but eight. Not very helpful. It's estimated by some that there were 7 billion people in the world when the flood happened. 7 billion. That's also the current population of this world. That's a lot of people. So even if it wasn't that high, we know there were at least millions of people, if not billions. How did Noah and his family, 8 people in all, how did they survive the flood? Well, in this text that we have before us from Peter in his first letter, he gives us the answer, starting at chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Thus far, the text. So did you catch the answer to that question? How did Noah and his family survive the flood? We might be inclined to say that it was by the ark, that the fact that they were in the ark was what saved them. But Peter is a little more precise here with his answer of how they survived the flood. He tells us it was the water that saved the people in the ark. Now, how can that be? Here the water was coming down from the heavens, was bursting forth from the ground, causing widespread destruction, killing people perhaps by the billions, and yet Peter says that water saved them. That water saved them because it lifted the ark above and away from all of that destruction that was taking place on the earth. In it, the ark, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And then he makes a comparison to which all of us can relate. He says this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Well, that's an appropriate comparison because baptism does indeed put you out of death's reach. You may not think that before you were baptized, death was all that imminent. After all, if you were a little baby, a sweet and cuddly newborn, death was probably not on the minds of your parents and your family. Yes, there are definite and tragic exceptions to that. But more than likely, your parents and your family were thrilled with this new life that they could even hold in their arms. Now, it wasn't your fault that you were born with death already coursing through your veins. The sin of your ancestors, Adam and Eve, had infected you even from the time of your conception, and you were doomed. Yes, you were alive physically, but spiritually, you were dead. And left that way, left amid all of the sin and the destruction that this world has to offer, left amid all of the sin in which you so willingly participate all too often, you would have been eternally dead, spending eternity in hell. But your baptism lifted you up away from all of that death and sin and destruction. In that water of life, Jesus reached out and he grabbed you in his arms, taking you away from the tentacles of the devil who so fiercely was trying to hold on to you. Jesus was able to do that, you see, because he had already defeated sin and death and the devil. When Jesus died on the cross, he took the penalty for all of your sins, for the sins of the entire world, and then he was put into a grave. And yet that grave could not hold him. He rose from the dead to show, to prove that he had conquered the devil and his main weapon of death. And that's why Peter can say that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that our baptism saves us. Baptism has power because Jesus conquered death. Baptism, that water connected with God's word, saves you also because it removes the filth of sin from you. Now, you may not think that your sin makes you all that dirty. After all, most of us here are relatively good people, right? The sins that we commit, we don't commit so many sins as to make our entire lives filthy, do we? After all, isn't it more like taking your toe and dipping it into mud, which you can easily and quickly wash off? Isn't that how our sin makes us dirty? Well, I hate to squelch your wishful thinking, but even one sin, even if it's a sin no one knows about, a sin that's in your mind, even that one sin makes you so filthy in God's eyes that there's nothing that you can do to make yourself clean. Have you ever been filthy, like head to toe, filthy, dirty, maybe when you were a kid? I'm not trying to compete with those people that are on that show, Dirty Jobs, but I can remember one time being absolutely filthy working a job. It was while I was in college, a summer job I had, working for a small company that made solvent purification systems. And one time we had to go on site to make a repair to one of the systems we had designed. And to make those repairs, we had to get inside this huge tank that was half filled with carbon pellets. And at the end of the day, when I came out, the only skin that looked relatively clean was what was underneath my goggles and my face mask. I think maybe my feet, because they were covered with socks and boots. But it seemed like it took forever to scrub all of that filth, all of that dust from the carbon off of me. Before you were baptized, you were not only dead, but you were covered in sin. But the water in your baptism washed you clean, not the removal of dirt from the body, as Peter says, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. In other words, you didn't look any different after you were baptized, at least not to your proud parents and your family. But in God's eyes, in the eyes of the one who counts when eternity is on the line, in God's eyes, you were absolutely clean. You see, Jesus not only washed away your sins and gave you life, new life, eternal life, he also gave you his perfect life. When Jesus lived on this earth, he lived a life that was absolutely free from sin. He never sinned once. And he did that not so that he could brag about how good he was, or not so that he could be the good child of the family. He lived that perfect life so that he could give that life to you. When God looks at you, who have been washed clean in your baptism, he doesn't see anything but the perfect and sinless life of his Son. And so you really do have the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. That is, when you stand before God as your judge, when he's ready to make that public proclamation of your eternal fate, you can boldly say, "Not guilty." Not because you haven't sinned, you know you have, but because you have that perfect life of Christ that's been credited to you. But don't wait until Judgment Day to think about how baptism saves you. Yes, your baptism saved you on the very day of your baptism, and your baptism will save you on Judgment Day. But what about every day in between? Well, every time that you go to God and you ask him to forgive you for the sake of his Son, you're returning to your baptism. Every time that you realize you've wronged a friend and you ask for forgiveness and that friend forgives you, you're returning to your baptism. Your baptism takes your sins away. Your baptism saves you every day. Amen.